Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just wondering, is joy of the Lord your strength this morning?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay, we'll test you out in a minute here. Praise God. All right. We're looking at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 through 18. Okay. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Bow ahead and join me in prayer. Lord, this, as you say, you don't respect your persons. Joy, Lord, is our strength. And we thank you. It says two more again. Your name, there you are in the midst, and we're blessed to have you here, Father God. I know you're everywhere. You're very busy. And you know the thing, I think you're trying to tell us too, through the busyness, we need to call it like a spiritual timeout. We need to gather ourselves, maybe by ourselves, and just get in the Word. This is when two more gathered. So we get plenty of people here, Lord. You know that. And I know everything's fine with you, Lord, but the thing is, he's interested in his people. And like I always said, single person, family, body of Christ at Grace. To bring unity, continued unity. No division. When there is that, that brings some separation. We don't need that, do we? We need to gather our things that have carried us this far. And that's the Word of God. Stay in prayer. Our eyes on you. We'll always have that if our eyes are on you. We're going through those trials and tribulations. You know, honestly, brother, says that's a way of life. God says that. We have to do that. We've won the war, but those battles, we might be in vain just knowing that battle's already won. But the thing is, too, our eyes are on you, Lord, and you're helping us as we keep our eyes on you going through it, just like we're plowing a field. And it gets rough, and we look up. We're looking around, we're sweating, we're hurting. Oh, is this over? Is this done? Or what, Lord? And then put our eyes on him. Then all of a sudden, that plowing, you've made it easier. You get that smile, you get that joy back because that was needed to get us through. You're the vine, you're the vine dresser. You take care of us. All the glory goes to you, Lord Jesus. We need to praise and worship King of Kings in the tough times. Thank him and praise him at any time, all times. But those times, they come often, and we might not think of doing that type of thing. We're just in the moment, so to speak, would be said. But really not. We're this is an ongoing thing that we have to clarify with you. We have to make up those times, and it's getting that joy back. It's just like you're the conductor in a train, and we're waiting to get on. But see, he sees us, Tom's on the fence a little bit. Maybe Tom need to get off that fence. Need to come aboard. He that's heavy laden, he's going to give us rest. We remember those type of things in times like these. Good times are happening. But the thing is, too, don't get wrapped up into that. Our eyes are on you, Lord. So we lift all these things up in your precious name, Amen, amen.
Children's Church, and if you would turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 to verse 20. Galatians chapter 4. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. In my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Father, I thank you for your word. And I do ask, Lord, that this message will be clear to each one of us. Father, the Galatian church were being wooed by so many different things. They were being distracted. Their focus was being pulled off of you and put on other things. And Lord, that is something that continues to happen in the church even to this day. I pray, Lord, that as we continue through this book of Galatians, that we will learn the value of keeping our eyes on you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Paul started out by saying here, well, I want to back up a couple verses. And because you are sons, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah for that. What is Paul saying? You're in the family now.
That's right.
You know? You were in the family, Courtney, before you even got baptized, because you received Jesus Christ as your Lord. The baptism was just a public proclamation of who you are now. You are a woman of God. Hallelujah for that. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can say, therefore, I am no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. Hallelujah. And if a son or a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. You are an heir of God. Praise God. The kingdom of God is your inheritance.
Yes.
Wow, man, I tell you, you may not be able to put that in your checkbook, but I tell you right now, you can put it in your heart. I can proclaim I am one rich dude. I am so rich. I'm not filthy rich. I am clean rich. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm clean rich. Why? Because I have the richness of God has been imparted to me as his son. The richness of God is imparted to you as his daughter. The richness of God is our inheritance. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Are you glad of that this morning? Amen. I am so tickled pink to know that I have the inheritance of God, that the kingdom of God, he tells us about the new Jerusalem when it's going to be coming down. That's our inheritance. Hallelujah. We're going to be walking on the streets of gold. We're going to be in the kingdom of God in that wonderful place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then where I am, you may be also. I'm going to come and I'll receive you to myself.
That's right.
So that where I am, you may be also.
Right.
You see, he's saying, I am the door. I am the door. You have to pass through me to get into heaven. And he says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's like he's standing there saying that and knocking, you know, on himself, saying, do you hear? If you haven't opened the door of your heart, will you please open the door and let me in? Because if you will let me in, then you gain this inheritance. If you will let me in, then you're allowing the power of God to come into your life. If you will let me in, I'll give you a whole reason why to live. If you will just let me in, I will do something with you.
Right.
And many of you, I'm not even going to tell you what it is because it will scare you. If I knew what God was going to do in my life when I first received him as Lord and Savior, I may have hightailed it and run. But it's all good, and it's wonderful. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, he says in verse 8, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. He's saying here, before your salvation, you still serve gods. When you got saved, you just transitioned from serving that to serving him.
That's right.
Before I was saved, and I will have to say, even my early days of being saved, I still had other gods. I had gods of methamphetamines. I had gods of heroin. I had gods of promiscuous sex. I had gods of just desires of wanting things. So much so that it didn't matter what I had to do to get it. Are you hearing me? Anybody else was at that place before they got saved? It didn't matter what you had to do, you'd get it. You'd sell your body, you'd sell your soul. I remember one time, a friend of mine, he had a stereo that, oh, I really liked that stereo. I wanted that stereo. I wanted it so bad that when I knew he wasn't home, I'd B&E'd his apartment and I stole that stereo. But I ended up selling it. Why? Because I had other gods that I served. These gods of drugs. So I sold it and got drugs. And then I go back to his apartment. He was a friend of mine. And we sat in his apartment, getting stoned, telling each other what we were going to do with that rat that stole his stereo. You hearing me? This is how warped I was. You think I'm warped now? Boy, I'll tell you, I was warped then. I didn't matter. I served other gods. And when you serve God, when you serve the one and only God, he will have you doing things you'd never think you would do.
That's right.
When you serve the gods of this world, those gods will have you do a lot of things that you think you would never have done. So which one are you going to choose? See, that's what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will what? Serve the Lord. Praise God, because I'm telling you right now, please listen. You will serve something. It may be just yourself, but you will serve yourself. We are a creature that was created to worship. You realize that this morning. We're a creature. God created us to worship him. Satan comes in and perverts that, so it causes us to worship all kinds of other things but him, but God. So you will serve a God. Verse 8, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Paul is saying here, so now after you have known God, or rather known by God, what Paul is saying here, when you knew God and knew God knew you, when you had this intimate relationship with him, you developed this intimate relationship with him, and he with you, and all of a sudden now you're turning. You're turning away from him to these other things that you used to serve. What's the matter for you? That's what Paul is saying. You know what? I don't understand, Paul is saying. He's given you these things. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Are you saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Say it like you mean it.
Amen.
All right. "For Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called," are you called of God this morning?
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
"But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Hallelujah. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision made by in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," I love it when God puts a but in his word.
Yes, right.
"But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus," by the blood of Christ. You who were far away, you were out of touch with God, you were out of sight, you thought. You see, you're never out of sight of God.
No,
now, he may be out of your sight, but you're never out of his.
You know,
and it says here, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Can you say hallelujah for that this morning? So he's saying, Paul is saying back in Galatians, he said, "But now after you have known God," or rather been known by God, "after you have now developed this relationship with him, how is it that you turn again to a weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Why are you turning back to what you had left in order to have Christ? You see, when I repent of my sins, what is repentance? Repentance is not being sorry for your sin, but repentance is sorry for your sin and turning from it. So when I turn from my sin, I turn to Christ. You see, there is no salvation without repentance. Because repentance is allowing yourselves to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah for that. You know, you can say, I love you, Jesus, love you, Jesus, love you, Jesus, all you want. But if you're not walking with him, you're not developing a relationship with him. See, that's the whole point of salvation. It's not just so that you can be saved and go on your merry way.
Right.
But it's so that you can be saved and brought into fellowship with him.
That's right.
Hallelujah for that. Are you glad of that? The living God, the living King, wants to have fellowship with you.
That's right, he does.
Now, there may be some people who don't like me, and they don't want me anywhere around them, but God's never like that.
No.
He always wants me close to him. You know, Kathy and I, we've been married for 50 years. There have been times when she just really didn't want me around her. She loved me, but she didn't like me very much. You know, I realize you may find it very difficult why she would ever feel that way towards me, you know. But she still loves me. There are times that God doesn't really like me and my attitude and the things I do, but he always loves me.
That's right, he does.
Always loves me. The difference between God and Kathy is this. When Kathy doesn't like me, she just shouldn't me be in the other room. With God, when he doesn't like me, he wants to draw me closer to him so that he can mess with me.
That's right.
So that he can purify me. You know, when you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with things in your life that you know is ungodly, those are the times that you draw away from God. You know why? Because if you have those things in your life and you are entertaining those things in your life, look, we all sin and fall short of God's glory. I'm talking about the sin that we want to keep. Lord, I'll let go of it someday, maybe, but I kind of like this. But when we have that kind of attitude, We don't really draw close to God. You know why? Because the power of God, the closer I get, you know what? The closer I get to Joseph, our friendship becomes even more evident. You know what I mean? When I come up to Kathy and I go to hug her, there's an intimacy in a relationship that is strengthened during that time. When I come to God, that relationship gets strengthened in this: His power is made perfect in my weakness. His power begins to purify. His power begins to saturate me and begins to purify me. And those things which I want to keep, that I know He doesn't want me to keep, but I do want to keep them, they begin to lose their grip. So if I want to keep them, the best thing I can do is just to stay away from God and have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You hearing me this morning? This is what Paul is saying here. He says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather been known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? See, he's talking to the Jews. He's talking to the ones that were caught up in the law. And when they got saved, they're now divorced from the law. They're removed from the law. They're no longer under the law, but they're under what?
Grace.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. But now they're going back to these traditions. Paul goes on to say, you observe days and months and seasons and years. What he's saying here is like, you're observing the Passover. You're observing the feasts. You're observing the year of Jubilee. You know, you're observing these things, which is not wrong. Please understand, it's not wrong. Mitch Foreman next week will let you know those things are not wrong, as long as you're not looking at those things for your salvation, which is what the whole Jewish faith is about. You do this and this and this and this and this and this and that, and you observe this and this and that, and you do this and that, and you take that festival, and you're good with God. Listen to me, you can only be good with God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right, preacher.
Hallelujah for that. So you're saying, okay, so you've developed this relationship with the Lord, and now you're going back to that? What's the matter for you? Why are you doing this? I'm afraid for you, it says in verse 11, I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, I had not planned on going here, but it seems to fit. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. What is Paul saying, the writer of Hebrews saying here, that goes along with what Paul was saying? When Paul was saying back in Galatians, he said, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. In Hebrews, it's a saying here in Hebrews that people make it difficult for pastors, for leaders, for those that we are to be submitted to. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. You know, as a watchman, I have to give account to God as to how I pastor this church and how I minister in this world. Each one of us are a watchman of some sort, and we give account to God for how we operated and how we functioned in the calling and the responsibility that He gives us, whether that responsibility is just as a husband or a wife, maybe it's as a mother or a father, maybe it is being a foreman on the job, whatever it is, whether it's an elder or a deacon or somebody like Joseph that greets people on Sunday mornings. You know, I get feedback from especially first-time visitors. That guy, handing the bulletins, he's just always got a smile on his face. Yeah, he does. Why? Because he's got the joy of the Lord in him, okay? He's dealing with pain and all in his body as well. But you know something? He doesn't let that hold him back. He does what God has called him to do. All right, so he says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. See, I wrote in my Bible next to that, you have the power to make our calling joyful or grievous. You have that power to make our calling joyful or grievous. And Paul was saying here, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain, in verse 11. Brethren, verse 12, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. Paul is saying here, he says, I urge you to become like me, because I used to be like you. I understand what it is to be captured with the law. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He sat under the best teachers of the day. and he said, you know, that I was like you. I understand the draw. I understand the power of the law. But I understand even more so the power of grace and the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of being set free from that. I'm no longer under the law. I am now under grace. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Aren't you glad you're not under the law, but you're under grace? Now, we're talking about the biblical laws. We're still under law in this world. You know, you get stopped for speeding, tell the police officer, I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. And see how that does when he writes you a ticket. Then you explain the same thing to the judge and you find that his ticket now went from $100 to $200. Brethren, I urge you, verse 12, to become like me, for I became like you and you have not injured me at all. Paul is saying here, when he says you haven't injured me at all, you're not going to hurt me. You are not going to cause my walk with Jesus to become affected by how you are. And you know, that happens in the church. And Paul said, you're not going to injure me. You're not going to injure my walk with the Lord. I'm responsible before God, before him and me. But I have seen people, when they get frustrated with somebody else, maybe it's a family member, who just walks away from God, and they get discouraged. They get forlorn. They get to where they don't understand, and they begin the same process of walking away from God. And Paul says, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm walking with my Lord whether you do or not. Amen. I'm going to keep fulfilling my calling whether you do or not. I want to be used by you, by God, to help you in your calling. I want to be used by the Lord to help you in your walk. I want to be used by God to help you further your walk with Jesus Christ so that you can have the power of God flowing through you like the power of God does flow through me.
Amen.
But if you don't, I'm still going. I'm still walking. I'm still going to fulfill the calling that God has on my life. Hallelujah for that. He was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you that question this morning. Are you focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you focused on the calling that he has placed on your life? Are you willing to say, I am not going to allow this or this or that to get in my way? It's not going to harm me. It's not going to injure me. I'm staying true to the Lord. Lord God, and so help me, God. I am going to stay with you. This is what Paul is saying here. You have not injured me at all. Verse 13, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that he has a physical infirmity. I know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. Paul is saying he had a physical infirmity. He didn't right here name what it was. But in the next verse, it seems like he did. But he's saying, I have a physical infirmity. But I am not going to allow that to hold me back.
That's right.
I'm still going to do what God has called me to do. regardless. That's what he said here. Because of infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. I still preach the gospel. I'm still going to do what God's called me to do. I am not going to allow anything to hold me back. You understand? Are you hearing how Paul was so focused on his calling that he wants everyone to have that same rich understanding and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Galatian church was drifting away from him, and he's crying out. This whole letter is Paul crying out to them, don't do that. I can't prevent you, but as an authority, as an apostle, I'm at least going to address it. So that I can stand before God and say, God, I did the best that I could, and they are now responsible for their walk with you. I've given them what is necessary for them to have the walk. Now, will they walk? Paul said, if you do, hallelujah. If you don't, not going to injure me. I'll be sad, but it will not injure me. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you as at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel from God, even as Christ Jesus. Even in the midst of this infirmity, they still received him as a messenger of God. That's what that word angel means, is a messenger. He wasn't an angel with wings and a little halo and all. He was a messenger. He wasn't an angel. He was a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. Verse 15, it says, but what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. This is where I wonder if Paul was going blind. And yet, even in going blind, he was still going to preach the gospel. He was not going to allow it to hold him back. I think of people like, Jackie, you can help me with you. I used him in an example last week, I think it was. The guy has no arms and no feet.
Nick Veloce.
Something like that, yeah. Nick Veloce. He is fantastic. Yeah, I love watching him. But he says, I mean, he has no arms. He has no torso from here down, except for one little flipper foot with, I think, one or two toes on it. And he's married to a beautiful wife, and they've got two children and on. But he did say, he says, I believe that God's got the power to heal me, that he can give me arms, he can give me legs, but until he does, I'm still going to do what he's called me to do. And he is a powerhouse speaker. I love watching him. But he did say this statement. And when he said it, it just caught me by total surprise. But yet it was so cool. He said, you know, I have a pair of shoes in my closet. I do. He says, I'm not just kidding around. I have a pair of shoes in my closet. So that if God does give me back and give me legs and feet, I got something put on them. Yeah, and then, but he's saying, so I have the faith to believe he can do that, and he can do that, but I'm not going to allow him not doing that from preventing me from doing what he's called me to do. Are you hearing this morning? God has called each and every one of us to something, and we so often allow things of this world, busyness is one of them. Oh, I'm so busy, I can't make it, I can't do it, I can't get involved in that because I'm so busy. Is your busyness really what God's called you to? Or is that busyness holding you back from fulfilling what God has called you to? That is a question I cannot answer for you. You can only answer that for yourself between you and God. But it's a question, legitimate question to ask yourselves.
That's right, it is.
Right? We have needs in this ministry. And that very few people are stepping up to the plate. All right? So I ask you, Rob had gave, it's in your bulletin. There's needs that we have. Pray about it. Pray about how you would be involved. All right? Now let's move on. He says, but blessing, verse 15, what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, even though this was happening with me, I still told you the truth. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. Paul is saying here, he's saying that they zealously court you. Who is those? But the Judaizers, the ones that are under the law, and telling them that in order for you to be saved, you must first fulfill the law. And in reference to that was in the beginning of this letter was the whole issue of circumcision. It's saying in order for you to be saved, you have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. But you can only receive him as Lord as if you happen to be a proselyte of Judaism. Therefore, you have to be circumcised. Once you're circumcised, then you can have Jesus in your life and you can be saved. It's like, that just dispenses with God's grace altogether. And Paul is saying here, they zealously court you. They want you. They want to say, you're my proselyte. You're my convert. That you are back into the law so that you can be saved. And that's what he's saying here. They zealously court you, but for no good. Because listen, you cannot be saved by the law. You cannot be saved by doing everything right. Because quite frankly, you can't.
That's right, you can.
Amen?
Right.
I'm not afraid to stand here and tell you I can't fulfill the law. I cannot do everything right. If you think, I've seen congregations, they put the pastor up on a pedestal. When the pastor screws up, they get mad and say, I'm leaving the church. I'm going away. Or they kick the pedestal off and knock him off, which they should have done that to begin with anyways.
That's right.
I'm just being flat out honest with you. I ain't perfect in any way, shape, or form.
None of us are.
I want to be closer to perfection now than I was 5 years ago.
That's right.
And if the Lord was to tarry 5 years from now, I want to be even closer to Jesus and more purified. But even then, the only time I am going to be perfect is when I slide on my belly onto the throne room right up to Jesus' feet after I pass away from this life and grab a hold of him and just cry out, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. It's the only reason I can be here.
Right.
Hallelujah. Paul went on to say in verse 18, and I'll close with this. He says, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Paul was saying, I have doubts about you, but I'm believing. He says in verse 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. See, Paul, even in their midst of missing the understanding of grace, Paul was saying, I have the faith to believe that Christ will be formed in you, the hope of glory. But church, please understand, that's only going to happen if you keep your focus on him. Get your focus off of other things.
That's right.
And keep your focus on Jesus. Why? Because he paid the price on that cross for you. And you can only be saved because of his blood, not because of anything you do other than this. He's knocking at the door of your heart. You're going to open the door of your heart and let him in?
Yeah.
You're going to repent of your sin and grab a hold of the power of God that will change your life and it will change it for the better. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for this whole letter of Galatians that has the focus of staying focused on you and not allowing other things to get in the way. That we not allow other doctrines to cause us to look in other avenues for salvation or look for other avenues to strengthen salvation or to add to our salvation. We need to look to you and you alone, for you alone are worthy.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. And if you'd like to just pray with me, please pray with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I open my heart, and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Today is the day of my salvation. Today is the day I commit to you brand new. Brand new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for living in me. Thank you for giving me salvation. Thank you for giving me a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please let me know after the service. We want to give you a Bible. If you're watching online, we have a big online presence today. It looked like it was like 50 people have been watching. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please let us know at the end of the service. There'll be a screen that'll be up with our telephone number here. And or call my cell phone, 603-355-7014. And we want to contact you, talk with you. I want to get you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible and you can't afford a Bible, you let me know. We'll give you a Bible. Okay? We love giving the Word of God away. All right? So we will give you a Bible. Don't leave this place without one. Okay? God bless you. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and that he give you peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. That God will give you the courage to press into him and to turn away from those things that are drawing or trying to draw you and to tempt you to walk away from the Lord. I'm getting the word of a cloak. That there is a temptation that is cloaked with somebody here that is cloaked. It's meaning like a robe over it. That it looks enticing and it looks good. It looks godly, but it is not. And I don't know who you are, but I'm just really sensing that there's a temptation that you are wrestling with. That temptation is inviting you in a way that it sounds like it's more godly. And I believe the Holy Spirit is just saying, beware. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The enemy comes in to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes in as a... as an angel of light, thank you. And he's not an angel of light. He's an angel of death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.